Campus FM presents Talking Eds, a program brought to you by students from the International Masters in Adult Education for Social Change who are studying currently at the University of Malta.
And welcome to Talking Eds. I'm Ola Pavluk, your host for today's show. Today we're going to discuss the role of education in reducing stigma and promoting awareness around mental health issues. For our panel today, we welcome Tony Mitchell from the Talking Eds team. Tony studied psychology and sociology as a mature undergraduate student and has recently worked in student services within a Scottish university. He has an ongoing interest in matters of mental health education. Welcome to the studio, Tony.
Hi, thank you.
In our studio with us today, we have two guests, Kate Mchedlishvili and Alexandra Bach. Kate has a master's degree in psychology and experience working as a psychologist in a penitentiary and prevention training center and as a clinical psychologist for Ministry of Defense in Georgia. In the past, she has provided training to military officers and prison guards on how to better understand mental health. Currently, she's studying for a master's in adult education for social change. Hello, Kate.
Hello, thank you.
Alexandra Bach has a degree in social work and experience working in a range of organizations that provide support, including emotional support to domestic violence survivors, refugees and asylum seekers, and family members of prisoners. She has worked across a number of countries and cultures, including the UK, Germany, Malta, New Zealand, and South Africa. Alexandra is currently studying for a master's degree in transcultural counseling here in Malta. Welcome to the studio.
Hi.
Okay, in your experience or speaking of situation in your country, do you think there is a stigma attached to mental health issues?
Yes, definitely it is. It's pretty problematic topic in Georgia, where I come from, because of different reasons. Probably first reason would be social norms and...
So for example, in like sometimes we see in American sitcoms people going to psychologists. Is this something that will be quite unusual in Georgia?
I could say that gradually awareness about mental health issues is raising in Georgia, and people are starting to go to psychologists more and more. Mm-hmm. But there is maybe tendency now that having a psychologist might become fashionable thing, which is another end of this continuum. So it's not very good as well.
Interesting. And do you think this kind of stigma or taboo topic of mental health in general is affecting some groups more than others? Are men less likely to disclose that they may have some mental health issues or not?
Yes, definitely. Because of the culture and nature of culture, men are less likely to go and talk about their problems in general. And in our cultures, people just talk about their issues with friends. And it's not very common for men to express their emotions if they have problems because of the gender roles, they should not. So they should keep their problem to themselves and solve, but hopefully that will reduce gradually.
And in your experience, Alexandra, you have worked with so many different cultures. You have worked with refugees and asylum seekers as well in a number of different countries. What do you think about that?
Yeah, from my experience, there's still a lot of stigma attached to mental health. Generally, or in most countries that I've worked in Germany, I feel especially there's a stigma coming from employers as well. So employees are scared or feared to disclose that they are suffering from mental health, and there's generally a lack of understanding of what it means to suffer from mental health because you can't visibly see it. From what I've seen or heard of Asian countries, for example, it's quite the opposite. In Asian countries, the mentally ill people are integrated better into the community. And they are accepted as a member of the community, and there's not so much stigma in certain Asian countries, so it doesn't have to be this way.
So it could be very different across different cultures.
Well,
recently Prince Harry of British royal family spoke publicly about his depression and mental health issues. Do you think celebrities speaking up about their mental health issues can be useful for awareness raising and perhaps removing the stigma?
Yeah, I think that can be very helpful. In terms of Prince Harry, You gave an interview to a newspaper in the UK called the Daily Telegraph, which is quite a widely read broadsheet newspaper. And in the interview, he spoke very candidly about his situation where he had lost his mother, Diana Princess of Wales, 20 years previously. And he said it had taken him 20 years to actually get to the point where he wanted to seek counselling. And he said that was very helpful for him. He said, you know, he spoke about experiencing anger. Sometimes during royal engagements, he would feel, he called it a fight or flight response. He would, you know, feel either sometimes that he wanted to behave aggressively or sometimes he just wanted to escape the situation. And the counselling, he said, helped him. He said that the turning point for him as well, the point at which he changed his whole view on mental health issues was when he listened to servicemen and women, people who'd served in the military in the UK, and he had them talking about their mental health issues, and that gave him a different perspective, and he wanted to open up the conversation and to try and normalise it, in his words. He also spoke about his coming out, was the phrase he used, and I think it is useful because there was a gentleman called Sir Simon Wesley, who was the president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, and he said that Prince Harry, speaking as he did, had done more in 25 minutes than he himself had been able to do in 25 years in terms of communicating about mental health and, you know, just the global range and reach of Prince Harry's message. He said that was really impactful.
Oh, interesting that he actually used the phrase coming out, kind of suggesting how difficult it is to breach the subject. I'm thinking that perhaps such a public figure that everyone recognises, at least in the UK and probably around the world, speaking about having mental health issues themselves can allow people to actually have the topic around the dinner table and actually talk about any issues they may be having, maybe access the services more.
Precisely, because it shows that people from all backgrounds encounter these problems, you know, even up to royalty. And in the UK, probably people know that there's a tradition of the stiff upper lip, and that means that you're very reticent with your emotions, you don't express your emotions. So for a royal to come out and talk about mental health issues is quite a big thing.
It's huge, yes. Do you see similar patterns in other countries? Do celebrities or public figures speak about mental health, or is this not actually happening, I don't know, in Georgia or other places? Me coming from Poland, at the moment I can't even imagine any politician or public figure even breaching the topic.
Neither. Yes, it's not like common topic to talk about in Georgia. I cannot remember either anyone. Also, of course, there are people who went through terrible things in their lives. Like I know one TV show journalist recently lost her daughter. And she now is back to TV and doing her show again. And she had all the opportunity to kind of touch this subject of like grieving and going through depression and this problem. But I don't think that she did it adequately. Although she did invite a psychiatrist who helped her to go through this trauma. So maybe talking to psychiatrists on TV and showing that how psychiatrists can help like through grief and depression, it was a really good step, I think. So I think this is first step for us.
So do you think media, film, TV in general, can they help? And can they have a positive role in reducing stigma or actually starting conversation about mental health? Do you see any examples in TV or media at all? Or do you think there's a chance for them to start something?
Well, I could say that in movies, for example, sometimes psychologists and counseling are shown in bad ways, or maybe more stigmatizing. So it's very delicate how to deliver in movies, but movies are more free. As for media, I would say again, it really matters how much information we give because it also can become stigmatizing and people might start self-diagnosis of, oh, you have depression because there was a show about and you have these symptoms, which is not like that. So we should be very careful, probably like give the main problems and main criteria, what is need to be done and probably more information where to go and to whom to refer, not just like give away all the information.
I can see that can be a problem because sometimes it's portrayed, mental health issues, and the way that psychologists or psychiatrists are portrayed in TV and movies is quite sensationalized and stylized, and they are doing all kinds of things that would be in breach of their obligations, you know, their professional obligations, striking up relationships with their clients and that type of thing. So probably the way that it's portrayed sometimes and it doesn't reflect the reality. But the media obviously does have a role, films, movies, media all have a role in opening up the conversation, normalising the idea of mental health issues, and they can play an important role when it's done properly, yes.
Yeah, I would say the normalising is very important because so many people suffer from mental health issues, but it's not commonly spoken about. And it would be great if the media would portray a picture of mental health that everyone could identify with, mm-hmm. and promote mental health as well, because I think there's still a huge lack of information about how to access mental health services and what mental health actually means.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm quite curious about is the situation in Malta to raise awareness on mental health issues. Alexandra, you're currently on a placement with Kilimni SOS. Could you tell me a little bit more about their work?
Yeah, Kilimni is an excellent service. It's kilimni.com and it's targeting young people. So young people can access the service 24/7, so day and night, Monday to Friday. They can come online and talk about their problems or talk about anything they're bothered with at the moment. And I feel this is also a response to the stigma, because a lot of young people, but young and older people, are afraid to disclose that they have mental health issues. So Kilimni offers completely confidential, anonymous service, which is quite unique all over the world, because in many other countries there's online counseling, but you often have to give your name or the area where you're from, but Kilimni doesn't ask for anything. So that is a great chance for everyone really to access this service. I know that there's the Cotonera Resource Center in Malta. Mm-hmm. It's a project from the university, and they promote mental health in the Cotonera area. And they are raising awareness of mental health and what counseling means, which is very much necessary in Malta, because there's a huge lack of information, especially in the older generation. Mm-hmm. They found that many people don't know what counseling is. Mm-hmm. They have a very different view of what it actually can offer. So that is a great resource as well.
Mm-hmm, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Well, we will now have to break for the song. And as usual, we'll be asking one of our guests to choose one. Kate, what song would you like us to play today?
I chose Elliot Moss' Cloud Loop. Mm-hmm. Just recently I've been listening to it. It's very relaxing.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you.
I went to a place to
That was a lovely song. Thank you, Kate. Welcome back after the break. In studio today, we have Tony Mitchell, Kate Mchedlishvili, and Alexandra Bach, and we're talking about mental health. Before the break, we have talked a little bit about media and its role in possibly promoting awareness on mental health. Kate, you have worked with prison officers and at Ministry of Defense in Georgia. How important is it to raise awareness on mental health issues in these institutions, and was it successful?
Yes, I'd say it was successful. It is important because, for example, in prison it's different settings and they have less access to world in general, not talk about mental health. And we had trainings with prison officers to raise awareness about what's the symptoms and what should they do if they notice something. And I remember one example when one prison officer contacted my supervisor because he noticed that one of the prisoners was acting differently. And differently was quiet. Like, all the prison officers would be happy to have quiet, calm prisoner, but he knew that he wasn't like that before. He was very active and loud and always, like, happy-ish. And then he noticed that he was very quiet for several days and didn't take his food. So he contacted us, and we basically, like, saved his life, because when they came, he was already committing suicide. Mm-hmm. So it is important to give them, the prison officers, or in this case, all the symptoms, what should they look for, so that in this case they could save someone's life.
Right, so yeah.
And Minister of Defense, we also had kind of small courses about what kind of coping mechanisms we have about stress and PTSD, which is more common in military system, but also depression and seeking help. It's absolutely different settings, because in military settings and military services, it is more difficult for soldiers to go and seek for help, because it's also another pressure from society that they should be soldiers, unbreakable, strong. So going for help, asking help for being depressed or sad or stressed is very difficult for them. So there are many, many programs around the world in different military systems to promote that peer, talk to peers or help peers, so different kind of programs.
Mm. And in the military, would this training be done with actual soldiers are also with officers, so that they would be able to create safe space for discussing these topics?
It is different in different countries. Mm-hmm. I know that, I think in US they have compulsory, like, crash course on mental health. Mm-hmm. So every soldier, even privates, go through this course, so they know all the, like, most of the common mental health issues and their signs. Also, officers probably do more comprehensive training on that. So we have more or less same in Georgia. We have trainings now mostly with a bit higher rank officers, but when I was working there, we wanted to, like, include all of them, so that everyone has similar information and access to mental health. And several, there are many, many private and confidential hotlines as well.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how there are many diverse needs depending on the sector, military and prisons, etc. Well, Alexandra, you have actually worked with quite diverse groups in your life, including refugees and asylum seekers, but also families of prisoners as well. How is working with people from other cultures like for a support worker or a counselor? Are there any particular barriers or cultural differences you need to be mindful of?
Yeah, so there's, first of all, the language barrier, of course. For myself, when I work in different cultures or different countries, but also for example, refugees or asylum seekers, what I found difficult is, especially when working with an interpreter or translator, because a lot gets lost when you're using a translator or interpreter. So it's difficult to establish a relationship and really understand the person. And also, I feel I have to use more interpersonal skills when working with people from different cultures. And what I learned and found very important is understanding my own culture and my own stereotypes or stigma that I have, prejudice that I have towards other cultures, because I feel we all have them. It's very common to have stereotypes against people from other cultures or generally, but understanding them and becoming aware of how they can sometimes trick us into thinking and into not understanding the other person, really. So I find, understanding the stereotypes and then still being open and willing to learn from the other person is very important, not only for people that work with mental health, with people from other cultures, but also for everyone to reflect on their stereotypes, really. Especially as therapist or as a mental health practitioner, it's important to be open to learn from the culture, as I said.
That's really interesting. I wouldn't think of that, but it makes sense that, you know, everybody sees people through their experience and through different stereotypes as well, and can affect the quality of your work. It's good they can be mindful of that.
Very good.
How about the general public and their awareness on mental health?
Well, it's very important to raise awareness within the general public, obviously. And a good way to do that is training that can happen within workplaces or even within higher education institutions, because workplaces and different institutions provide the structures within which you can train people on these issues. So, for instance, in Scotland, the Scottish Trade Union Congress, the STUC, has a fund, a learning fund, which is partly funded by the Scottish Government as well. And some of this fund is allocated towards raising awareness about issues of health and well-being within the workplace. So they deliver training. Some of the training that they deliver is mental health first aid training. Mm-hmm. So this is on a day release basis within the workplace. People are given time off. In fact, I think the course actually lasts over 2 days. So they're given 2 days of release from their work to take part in this training course, in which it's based on first aid principles. It's about recognizing, helping people to recognize the signs if one of their colleagues or someone they know is in distress, if someone's experiencing depression or anxiety or psychosis. And so it's based around recognizing the signs. It updates people's knowledge, gives them more knowledge about these types of mental health issues, and it also tells them how to approach the person, how to communicate with them, how to talk to them in a non-judgmental way, how to listen appropriately as well, and how to help that person get the appropriate professional help. It doesn't train people to be mental health advisors as such. It's more about that first stage of recognizing that someone has a problem, being able to talk to them, and being able to help them then move on to get the help that they need. So this training is delivered, as I say, in workplaces, but it's also, I had a look to see what courses were available, and it's delivered, for instance, Edinburgh University Student Association had an upcoming mental health first aid training course. University of Strathclyde had the same mental health first aid training course that they were delivering to their students as well. So it's something that's quite widely used as a training tool, and it's obviously very helpful in raising awareness.
Mm-hmm, that's fantastic. Well, when I have worked in the UK, I remember that my workplace was part of NHS Healthy Working Lives, and the NHS was actually, the National Health Service, was actually providing funding for workplaces to organise trainings like mental health first aid training, but also to organise events where staff are able to learn how to talk to their supervisors about their mental health issues, as well as raising awareness with the actual management so that they would know how to talk about these things, how to create safe spaces. And I thought that was really useful because it actually really helped to change the atmosphere in my workplace and make it much more comfortable, because people felt okay that they can talk about their health as well as mental health.
Yeah, it's important for employers. I think the Healthy Working Lives Initiative, they put forward some proposals for employers about things that they can do, some recommendations for employers to use to try and improve the mental health of their employees, things like flexible working within the workplace, having trained managers as well who can help people if they're experiencing mental health issues, having an open culture involving employees in decision making, having the proper mental health policies in place, and all of these things can help.
Mm-hmm. It's great when people can have this kind of support in workplaces, but just before, Alexandra, you said that older populations, for example, in Malta, have a lot of misunderstandings about mental health and about counselling in general. I'm just wondering, how can you reach older population which is no longer in education or in workplaces? How can we actually reach them and raise awareness within this population?
I guess in that case, through TV and media as well, like maybe TV shows or some kind of informational programs would be helpful, not only for older generation, but also for general public as well, who has not access or who has not trainings at workplaces, because sadly, like in Georgia, it's not very common. I guess like military people or some kind of like marginalized groups are more considered to be vulnerable to mental health issues, and it's not seen as that anyone can be struggling from it. And for example, in military world in general, PTSD, for example, is known as invisible wound, and in general, many mental health, all mental health problems are invisible, because it's not like you have something on your skin, or you have fever or temperature, or you feel sick or lying. You might be working and functioning, but you might be going through something terrible. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very difficult for someone else to see. Even people can, like as Prince Harry took 20 years, even people themselves might need quite a lot of time to realize that they have problems and they need help. So it is very difficult so that everyone has information about that, at least for the signs, and as Tony was saying about
first aid, so that we know that there is something wrong. As in case of this prison officer, he noticed like very small change in behavior. So these small signs of changing in behavior or in mood or something else is might be crucial in saving someone's life.
I also feel that every one of us can also play a role in that by speaking about mental health issues and about seeking help and counseling, and that would kind of normalize the issue as well. From my experience, as a counseling student, I have to go through personal therapy myself, and then whenever I mention this to other people, it comes as a surprise because no one really speaks about seeking help. So if everyone of us treats it like a normal issue, that would help as well, I feel. And also, schools play a big role. So what I heard from Malta, there are counselors in schools that are raising awareness through group sessions, which can be quite useful, but there are not enough resources. So there are counselors in schools, but they are overwhelmed with the amount of work, that with the high demand. So placing more counselors in school would be useful.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Definitely there's a big role to play by professionals, but I like what you said about all of us being able to contribute and actually make a difference by talking about mental health and normalizing it through this.
We probably shouldn't forget about the structural factors involved mm-hmm. in mental health issues. And we talked about reaching older people. Sometimes the people who are more predisposed towards experiencing mental health issues are the people that are more difficult to reach.
Mm-hmm.
The most deprived, certainly in the UK, the most deprived people are 3 times more likely to experience mental health issues than the least deprived. But yet these people can sometimes be very difficult to reach and very difficult to get the message out to. And we talked about gender as well. Women are twice as likely to visit their GP with mm-hmm. regard to a mental health issue, but men are 3 times as likely to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge for us is to recognise the structural factors as well behind some of these issues, and then to actually look at how we can go beyond and reach these people that are difficult to reach, and I think that's quite important.
So there's still quite a long way to go for us to live in a world where we can actually openly talk about mental health issues and everyone can access services equally. Well, I'm afraid this is about the time for us to wrap up for today. Thank you for your discussion, and thank you to our team member Tony Mitchell and our special guests Alexandra Bach and Kate Mchedlishvili for sharing their thoughts and experiences with us today. And thank you also for our technician Samuel. The Talking Ed series is available online at maltauniversitybroadcasting.com. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.